Welcome to EAA. I'm Wireless Mike.
And I'm Matthew. And for this segment, we are joined by Andrew Walker, who is an engineering aerospace student at Purdue University. Welcome, Andrew. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So we're here to talk about the Aviation Research Club that you founded and are president of at Purdue. Tell us a little bit more about that organization.
Sure. So me and my friends are a bunch of engineers, and we've been learning a lot of theory in classes, and we sort of fell in love with a lot of all this aviation stuff. I have a background in aviation. My dad's a pilot, family experience flying. So I was like, hey, guys, let's really see if we can put some of our knowledge to the test and build an aircraft. And then, of course, we decided, let's build an aircraft. We'll do it in 6 months and we'll take it to AirVenture.
Six months.
That's ambitious.
Really ambitious timeline for us. But of course, things like funding and our experience level didn't really match that. So we've instead shifted our focus to now we do aviation components and sort of testing and really putting those into smaller projects where we can get more rapid experience in.
What kind of components have you been working on?
So we have two main projects. The first is to do aircraft instrumentation. So we're developing our own pitot-static system and vacuum gauge. So The whole goal is in the next semester we're going to build up our own six-pack and then put it in a wind tunnel and test it and get some real data out of it. And we think that's a great idea because, well, everyone uses your standard six-pack. It's what everyone learns to fly with, and it's really well understood, so we can really go and take things that we've learned in the textbook and actual hardware that we can learn from and look at and then design our own systems for that.
So that's a very interesting project. What kind of hardware are you using? Are you making all custom things? Are you using some off-the-shelf components to do this kind of stuff?
It's a little bit of both. So things like, you know, we put it into the computer. You can go in through your CAD and design all of your components. But then with all the members, we kind of are telling them, you can take one instrument and that's what you're in charge of. So if you want to 3D print a component or you want to machine it, that's your decision. And so we're kind of going through a little bit of everything. So mostly it's machined components and 3D printed components.
That's fascinating. How are you testing these?
So right now the goal is build up and finishing our designs, but then we're hoping to rig it all together, fully put it into an assembly, and then put it into some of the wind tunnels we have at school.
So they have labs or things available for you?
We have labs. We've got great faculty and awesome facilities, so we're hoping we can use some of that to really get some good data out of it. Otherwise, we're just going to put a pitot tube on the roof of someone's car and drive down the highway and get some data there.
Practical.
Hey, yeah. That's a Wilbur Wright, Orville Wright kind of a solution.
Right.
I love it.
So you're making them. You said you're making a standard six-pack, so you're treating each instrument individually?
Yes. Yes, we're doing that because if we have members who can focus on one instrument, they can really take ownership of that and really get an experience of walking the product from the design and conceptual stage all the way through final assembly and testing. And so our members can actually get a lot of really good hands-on experience, and they're not just working on one component and then passing it off to someone else. It also keeps things simple because if you're only focusing on one instrument at a time, you can focus on, if you have budget concerns or if there's problems manufacturing, you can actually fix those problems at one level rather than having it influence a lot of other parts.
Mm. How are you funding all of these little instruments you're making?
Right now, we don't really have a lot of funding, so it's mostly from us to buy equipment, but we're hoping to get some sponsorships and funding and grants in the fall to really help us with that.
Well, if anybody's listening who wants to sponsor,
we would appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Do you have any presence on the for your club that's showing the work that you're doing and showing your progress as you go along?
Yeah, so we actually had some of our members come up to Oshkosh this week, and we gave a presentation on how to student-built aircraft, because we started with how do we build an aircraft and worked it into how do you build components for an aircraft. So we actually are hoping, you know, we'll come back next year, show some of our progress. And then, of course, we've got LinkedIn, and we're hoping to start up some social media pages to really show our progress through the weeks.
What was the process like of starting the club at Purdue? What efforts did you have to go through for that?
The first thing is you have to come up with an idea, right? So if there's already a group on campus that does something like this, well, then you should just join their club. But our group was trying to do something really different, so we found a faculty sponsor, and we contacted our student activities organization and said, how do we start the process? Well, you have to have a certain number of students in the club. You have to form a constitution. You have to get an advisor. And then once you fill out your paperwork, it's actually a really straightforward process.
Did you have to work that into any of the curriculum?
No, not at all. We can be completely independent.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, and it's an extracurricular activity for us. Yeah.
You have some founding members. I'm assuming you guys have different age ranges in your club for the club to continue on once you graduate.
Right, right. We mostly have juniors and sophomores right now, just because it started as a group of friends.
Sure.
And so we're hoping to get more freshmen and sophomores into the club as we all go through and then hand off the leadership to them. We've built up a really strong leadership structure, and so we're really hoping we can take our members, give them the experiences learning and leading, and then hopefully give them the skills they need to take over the club.
And how long has the club been around?
Since January.
Since January. And how many members are in the club?
We have about 10 to 20. So we're a relatively small group right now, but we're really dedicated to it.
Right. And I would guess that this fall, you're going to be looking for all new people who come into the college and get them to join your club.
Absolutely. So we're going to host our fall call-outs and advertise and get some more people to join with hopefully a lot of skills that they want to learn or that they have and they want to apply it to us.
How do you see your club helping you transition into from the educational aspect into, hey, this is a real life thing that I'm doing that I can use to help me in a future job?
Right. So I'll say, like, a lot of our intro design classes, we go through and we're taught, here's what aircraft systems look like, here's how they operate, but it's not to the same level that you learn in ground school or when you're flying an aircraft. And so my background is engineering school, but also I'm working on my student pilot's license. So I had that perspective of, here's how I actually use a piece of equipment, and here's how I engineer a piece of equipment. And so we learn all the theory in class. And so this is kind of saying, let's take a portion of that, let's put it into practice, and let's actually get a tangible experience out of it.
Now, that's one of the best ways to learn is to get in there like an AMP mechanic or especially as an engineer, get in there and design it. You really do learn a lot.
Absolutely. And it's helpful for us because Purdue is a fantastic school. We've got engineering, we've got aviation technology, and we've got professional flight. So we have a lot of people at our age and our skills level that we can go to and say, hey, do you want to come help us and join our group?
So Purdue has a professional flight program as well?
Yes.
Okay.
So if you trying to build all this stuff, you're going to need lots of tools and you're getting equipment. And where did you guys come up with equipment? Is that provided by the school somehow?
The school has a really, really fantastic makerspace called Bechtel Innovation Center. And so that's where most student organizations do all their manufacturing, and it's a fantastic place to be.
What kind of equipment are you using in there for your manufacturing?
For us, it's mostly 3D printing and CNC or laser cutting. But hopefully if we start working on more advanced components, we can use some of the more fun machines there too.
And what kind of fun machines are those?
Everything, really. We've got woodworking, laser cutting. What? We've just got a lot of the tools that you'd expect in a modern makerspace.
Well, I'm curious about another thing too. I know the club is early, so you're just starting this now. How do you see partnering, or do you see partnering with any industry companies or partners just like that? Have you thought about that at all? Are you trying to make some connections here on the grounds?
Absolutely. Yeah, a few of us have been running around Oshkosh trying to get business cards and connections because we have some experience. You know, we're learning in school, but we want to start making connections with industry because, one, it really helps us if we have mentors and we can go to and say, how would we tackle a challenge like this? You know, these types of problems, sometimes they've been solved before. The next is, of course, if companies are willing to sponsor us and support us, either with money or equipment, that actually helps us build all of the projects we're working on. And then the last thing is, of course, we're students. We're only going to be in school for a few years. And so if we can have these industry connections, we can go train ourselves, learn all these skill sets, and then turn that into a job and internships.
So what is your long-term goal for yourself personally after school?
Personally, I'm hoping to finish my bachelor's, hopefully go on to grad school, get a master's in engineering. I love aerospace engineering, and it's a perfect blend for me of the flying and the math and sciences. So I think long term, I'd love to be a flight test engineer. I'd love to work hands-on, but also still maintain some of those theoretical concepts and really get some good experiences there.
And I know you mentioned it, but I don't think we covered it just yet. You're a student pilot right now. Tell us a little bit about that journey.
Yes. So I come from a family of pilots. My dad's a pilot, and I grew up next to an airport. So from a young age, I said, I'm going to be a pilot. And I started the process in the summer of 2024. And like anyone will tell you, sometimes aviation isn't always a straight and easy path. And so it took me 2 years to get to this point, but I'm finally doing check ride prep and getting ready for that. And so it's been a really good experience. It's taught me a lot personally and mm-hmm. professionally. You know, you learn things even just in the cockpit of communication. How do you really manage a situation, whether that's situational awareness or how do you manage a system? You know, you get an engine failure, your instructor pulls the lever, and, well, how do you manage that? And it really teaches you a lot, and it's been a good opportunity to then take that out of the cockpit and say, hey, I've really had a fun experience. I've learned a lot, and this is going to prepare me for the rest of my career and personal life.
Do you plan to pursue any other certifications?
Hopefully. I think right now, once I get my private license, that'll be enough for at least my young age once I finish college. But then I'm hoping once I start working and having some money out of a career, I'm going to work on an instrument rating.
Are you currently getting your ratings through Purdue's program, or are you doing it through just an FBO?
I'm doing it through the local FBO.
Okay. And is there any way that you can transfer that into college credit at Purdue?
Purdue does have... They will allow you to get credit for your private license. I'm not too sure on the specifics of that because that's not the program I'm in, but I know, especially from my friends who are in that, they've gotten credit for their private.
Yeah. Just as a reminder, we're talking with Andrew Walker of Purdue with the Aviation Research Club. And real quick, where can we find you on the grounds?
Anywhere, really. Today's my last day, so I'll be running around all over the place. I'm wearing a striped shirt with a Purdue P, so if you see me, flag me over.
Very good.
All right. Well, we do appreciate you coming in. We've been talking to Andrew Walker, and this is EAA Radio.